Next. Does anybody else have anybody out there that they want to deal with? So pessimists, it's all in them particularly. And you know what the truth is? I'll tell you. As much as you can tell them to clear their mind and to spit something out, you already know the answer too. You already know this person needs medication. You already know this person is just too out there. Their cup is so full with New Age stuff. So if the cup is so full with New Age stuff, what do you need to do that you don't want to do? You're going to have to offend them. You're going to have to tell them that what do I do to you guys when you guys when people come to me with astrology and numerology and rocks and crystals and color healing? What do? I tear it apart. I'm cruel to be kind. Because if I don't clean that cup out, how do you expect me to work with it? It's a rotting wound, filled with crap, and I need to decide how I'm going to do with it. And you guys are too worried about hurting people. You're too worried about offending people. And you'll be shocked. Some people might be offended and say, see you later. It's all in the delivery. If you're a good surgeon, you can work on somebody without hurting them, without bleeding them. And you can clean the wound out, and you can suture it up, and they don't even know you did it. Other people, you can just be what my grandparents used to say were butchers. The doctors would knock you out, and they'd rip, and they'd pull, and whatever. It's just like breast implants. The butchers, when the women come out, they're crying in pain, and they got black and blues all over their whole chest from the surgery, okay? When they go to the good surgeon, there's hardly any bruising. Well, I know what the fuck my grandparents are talking. I watched it on TV, and you could see them speeding through it, cutting it, and ripping and bending and shoving it in, and okay, we got it adjusted and stitching it up. And I said, that's a fucking butcher. Because when I watched the other guy who was like a specialist, you seen him working it and getting it a certain way and getting it to go in. He took his time, and he did things right. There is a difference how you do things. A good teacher can disassemble somebody and be stern about it and rebuild them versus a person who's just out being destructive. And you know when somebody's a teacher is being destructive? It has nothing to do with the student. It's a bad teacher. Okay? It's a bad teacher because they're letting their inner emotion of themselves abuse another person because it's self-gratifying for them. Just because a teacher's a teacher does not mean that they don't have their own issues. Even myself. Okay? So the point is that you have to be mindful as a teacher, am I ready to do this, and how much time am I willing to be skillful at this? You have to be stern, but you can't be a butcher. Do you understand? And if you're butchering, it's because you don't give a shit. If you give a shit, you'll do it well and you'll do it right. Okay? When I don't tell somebody, you know, oh, astrology is a bunch of bunk and you're stupid for believing it and everything else, I approach it, well, you know, they say there's 12 houses when in reality there's technically 13. That means that everything's back one. It's based on the gravitational pull of the planet. Well, I got news for you. When you're born, the finger's got more gravitational pull on you than the goddamn whatever, you know what I'm saying? So I go into it and I use reason. I don't attack them. I simply give them something to chew on and let them come to their own conclusion. Do you follow me? But I also make myself knowledgeable before I attack something. Do you think I really want to know any more about astrology? Hell no. But I need to know something about it if I intend to help somebody, you know, to get them somewheres. So if you know somebody's into something and you know it's hokey, okay, you should educate yourself a little bit, and you should not allow yourself to get into a battle over it. That's like getting in a battle with somebody that's religious. You're on their turf. I mean, they're gonna quote at you. You know what I'm saying? To me, that's empty. You need to be very logical and very very reasonable and strategic in what you're communicating. Your job is to teach them, to inform them, to educate them. But your goal is to raise their consciousness higher. Everybody get that? Next.
Okay, recently, I think me and you were watching the show. Recently, there have been observations done on identical twins separated at birth to test how different their lives diverge without contact. And the similarities of the two life events seem uncommonly familiar. You know, they both had husbands that were exactly the same, lived on the same kind of street, same kind of job, mm-hmm. married and divorced almost the exact same time. It's really uncanny. What does this say about how brain configuration designs our lives?
Well, I think it's 50-50. I think it's obvious that the brains are going to create similar attractions. I mean, you could say they both married men that were in uniform. One marries a cop, the other one marries a policeman. I think that is something that is probably genetically designed in. I mean, you know what you're interested in. You know what you're not interested in or attracted to, per se. The fact that they led certain lives, well, their personality, this goes back to people who are optimistic in life and people who are pessimistic. I'm not surprised at all that there's similarities there. What you have to keep in mind is that the brain design also, as I've always taught, has a major factor on the frequency of your consciousness. Data is what builds to the designing and the development of your soul. We are here to learn. So what you experience is what tunes you in, okay? If the design of your mechanism is designed with features built in to help advance you along the line, then those are things you're going to gravitate to naturally, but you're still going to draw data. It's to say that they both married men in uniforms, but one was a fireman and one was a policeman, and there are very different, big differences in those, but yet they're very similar, okay? So it's to say that, to me, that there's a line biologically that is definitely in the design biologically. And I think that spiritually, that their consciousness is simply resonating based on their experience. It's very similar tools starting out. I think you have to keep in mind one thing, though, okay? When you watch shows like this is, again, and I mean this in the most politest way, is ignorance of the viewer. We are watching a show that, its job is to entertain us, because there are other people running shows that are competing with it for attention, okay? Two, therefore, it has to be entertaining, okay? Three, what is the show trying to show you? It's trying to show the unique qualities of how similar their lives are. So they're saying, here's five or six amazing things that are the same. But if we spent time with those people, you'd probably also find out they're very uniquely different in many other ways, even more so. So if we just focus on what we want to see, that's all we're going to see. So in this particular show, it is amazing to see the similarities. But to me, that's biological. It's all this. But I also think that their soul is individually unique, if we were to look at other aspects of their life also. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it's not really the soul that dictates their life's outcome as much as it is their biology, right?
Well, no. In the cases of those situations, you're taking unique situations. There's plenty of twins who have been separated that have nothing in common in those ways. In fact, when they meet each other, they didn't really feel anything. But you don't hear about those because it's not exciting and interesting. But I've watched those same documentaries. We're focusing very dangerously on one topic, creating anecdotal answers that aren't actually truth.
Well, let me rephrase then. How much of your biology dictates the outcome of your life, especially with just the arrangement of the brain, as opposed to chance?
I would say probably larger than well, I would say chance is a big part of, well, it's hard to give any specific figures, but I would say 65% to 75% is biological. Hence the reason why you meditate. Hence the reason why you try to raise your consciousness. Hence the reason why you try to pop out of the cycle of the machine. You're lowering that percentage. You're taking conscious control of your remote consciousness that is really biochemically responding. I mean, how you react to things is sociologically taught to you. So it's imposed on your brain from youth. A lot of the genes that are receptors, or your the way you think, is biologically a clone part of the genetics of your family. So it's not unusual to be similar to your parents in how you view things. But you also have the sociological backing of it intertwining in there. Okay? You have whoever your social circles are growing up who add into the twist of that psychological makeup. And for the most part, you have to keep in mind that I think most people are red cells and they're biological functioning creatures based on their biological design, their DNA, if you want to call it that, and their sociological programming. And a white cell is one that challenges all that and tries to disassemble it and allow a higher consciousness to surface and take greater control. Right or wrong?
So how much would you say, like biology is linked to, like, let's say, spirituality then? Or like because, like, let's say if someone says that they come from a long line of psychics or they come from a long line of, like, spiritual people, I mean, like, is their biology somewhat altered?
Well, you have to keep in mind, if you raised in a spiritual household, what were you sociologically exposed to consistently in your psychological makeup growing up? You were exposed to greater belief in these things, which creates greater sensitivity.
But even if they weren't necessarily exposed to it, but like,
but
they
I'm not finished.
Okay.
Biologically, I think the traits can run. It's the same thing where you can look at somebody and say, boy, you can tell this is really your kid or not. I think biologically there could be people's brains that are a little bit more designed than other people to be more spiritually inclined. So I think it's a combination. So I think whether they do something with it or not is really the question. Does that answer the question? Any questions else on that?
Okay, well, this is kind of funny. Why is it important to strive to be happy? What does happiness really have to do with consciousness development?
Well, happiness is a flow of energy. Happiness is in part connected to freeness, liberty, flow. It is a sense of expansion. It is a ask yourself. You can feel the answers within you. Happiness is release. It is love. It is a sense of pleasure, but it's mostly peace. It is calm. And it's about being in balance with oneself. And what is the opposite? The opposite is control. The opposite is suppression. It's like holding something still and not letting it move. It's about non-creativeness. It's about non-flow in your heart, in your soul. It is death. It is despair. It is the tree that withers and crumbles. It is an in sense to us to know that when one chooses to be a pessimist, one chooses not to experience life in its fullest. It's as if to say that you're choosing to withdraw because it's simply you just don't want to pursue anymore. You don't care. It doesn't matter. The universe is expanding. It's growing. It wants to know more. It is human nature to quest. Since primitive time, we've migrated to search for better food sources and such. And in that process, it made us learn to learn because we were exposed to new things and we had to survive and we seen new things, which created new ideas. It is in our nature to grow. It is in the nature of the universe to experience. Happiness is gratification from acknowledging or experiencing things. Ask everything that makes you happy. 9 times out of 10, it comes from experiencing something new or something different. We go to the movies not to watch the same movie twice. We go to the movie to watch a new movie to gain some new insight, some new stimulation. We go to the state parks to get away from our standard stimulation to find some new stimulation that's refreshing or renewing. But in us is this internal quest to expand oneself, to improve oneself. Happiness is gratification, hopefully in a positive way, rather than in a destructive or controlling way. Does that help? Does that make sense for everybody?
Yeah.
Eric?
This concludes The Optimist, Part 1 of 1. Higher Balance offers a wide variety of metaphysical programs. For more details, visit us at www.higherbalance.com or reach us at 1-800-935-4007.